Well, welcome to Genesis Church. We're so glad that you're tuning in today, and wherever you might be in your journey of faith, maybe you're tuning in and you're just exploring a relationship with God, and you want to know what that could look like. Or maybe today you're tuning in and you're struggling. You've received unwanted news, and you have a desire to see your faith revived. Or maybe you're tuning in today and you're passionate about following Jesus. And the truth is, you see the power in the gathered church, but you also understand the unlimited potential in the scattered church. Wherever you're at today, it's my hope to encourage you to take your next step with Jesus. We're a church where everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect and anything's possible. And we don't want something from you, but we certainly want something for you. We're for you. And we're for your family, and we're for your future. And what's even better than that is God is for you, and God's for your family, and God's for your future. I was thinking about just the reality of how many restrictions we have on us. Currently, I am now the proud principal of a homeschool academy at my house. I've been breaking up fights this week, and I've only had to expel one kiddo this week, but it's been challenging. And everywhere you turn, there are all kinds of restraints that are on us. But I want to encourage you and I want to remind you today, there is not a restraint on your worship. There is not a restraint on God's wisdom through His Word. And there certainly is not a restraint on the Spirit of God. And so I am trusting that today, wherever you're watching from, whether you're in your home, or you're in a hotel, wherever you might be at today, that the presence of God would impact and invade your life. Because what we want to look at today is how the peace of God changes everything for us. And so if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We have been in Romans chapter 5 for a little while now as we've journeyed through Romans. And why we're spending time in Romans as a church is this is such a life-changing letter because it points us to the life-changing message of Jesus, the gospel, the good news. And if you don't know what the gospel is from God. It is all about Jesus. It's for everyone, and it is full of power. It's the good news of what Jesus came to do. And He didn't come to make bad people good or good people morally better. Jesus didn't come in some way or another to increase our morality. No, Jesus came that the spiritually dead may be fully alive in Him, not just here and now, but for forever. And so if you're at home, will you say with me amen this morning? Put that in the comment section. That's what we rejoice over. That's what we hold on to, that Jesus really does change everything for everyone. And the gospel is the good news of Jesus and life in His kingdom. Now we're going to dive in to Romans chapter 5. If you're just joining us, the Apostle Paul writes this letter to Jews and Gentiles. And inside of this letter, he's saying that we all have a universal problem, and that problem is sin. That sin is not only a choice, but it is a condition. If the Apostle Paul was writing today, he may use the analogy even of the coronavirus. This idea of a virus that you can't necessarily see with your eyes, but is impacting you in significant and major ways, and you have to do something about it. Well, the Apostle Paul is saying we have a universal problem called sin, and the universal solution is Jesus. And he's encouraging people what it looks like to trust in Jesus in even greater and deeper ways. And I just want to encourage you right now, wherever you're at, whatever's going on, I want to encourage you to have a deep relationship with God, that no matter what, anchor your life in prayer, anchor your life in God's Word, saturate your life in God's presence, especially in this season. Now, the Apostle Paul is going to turn his attention really to answering this question, which is, what does the peace of God do for our lives? Whenever we respond to the gospel, whenever we receive the Spirit of God, what happens in our life? And I want you to see this today because I know it's going to be encouraging for you. Romans chapter 5 will pick up in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a peace that's given to us that no one can take away, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now we're going to see how this peace of God changes everything for us as we trust in Jesus. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now let's hit the pause button, because I want you to see this forward motion. It starts with perseverance. And we don't use the word perseverance that much, but the word perseverance really means endurance. You know what endurance is all about. It's that grit that when you feel like giving up, it's that sense within inside of you that says, I will not give up. I will keep taking one step at a time. And here's what God promises, that the Spirit of God will produce in you perseverance. Even right now, you may not even realize this, but the very Spirit of God is working in your life to produce in you a sense of endurance and perseverance, that no matter what you're going through, including this crisis and pandemic that the world is facing, that you're going to get through it, that you're going to be able to have the strength to take it one day at a time. Now, this perseverance forms within us character, and character is ultimately who you are. It's not what you do, it's who you are. You know someone who's been through something and they go through it and they are changed. You know, the same is true with all of our lives. When this epidemic, this pandemic is all finished, we're going to look back, and I believe God is going to change us in remarkable ways. Our character is going to be shifted and shaped in unique ways. And it moves from perseverance to character to hope. Now, we use the word hope in a very flimsy way. We talk about our hope that our football team will win. In this case, we may say, I hope we even get to watch football or basketball or some type of sports. I hope I get to see this movie. But the biblical idea of hope is certainty or rooted confidence. Please hear me this morning. God wants to give you an unwavering, unshakable confidence that the Spirit of God's going to work in your life, and you're going to have perseverance that's going to birth into you character, that's going to birth into you a hope, and a hope that no one, nowhere can take away. Now let's get to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, you were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely anyone will die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare die. Now, here's the proof that God loves you and God's for you. And inside of this crisis, I would encourage you, write this down, underline it, have this be a passage that you memorize and internalize. Here's how you know God's for you. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do you know someone's for you? Well, when they die for you, they are for you. We keep reading. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? This is so good, this is so rich, and this is so important for us. And here's what I want to look at. Inside of these passages, I want you to see how the peace of God really does change everything for us. And here's the first thing that it changes. We get a new identity. That when you respond to the gospel, when you receive the Spirit of God, that you have a new identity. And that identity is you are no longer an enemy of God. You're an adopted son or daughter of God. Again, this is not just what you do, this is who you are. Jesus doesn't say, come follow me and I'll make you a servant. Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you an adopted son or daughter. You will be fully adopted. That's who you are. No one can change that. John, who writes the Gospel of John, he puts it this way in John chapter 1, verse 12. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Later on, Paul, in the same letter, we're in Romans 5, but if we made our way to Romans chapter 8, this is what he says. The Spirit you received brought you into adoption and sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Apostle Paul's saying that when we pray, we can use the term Abba, which in tenderness means daddy. It's this beautiful and unique and tender moment. Daddy. You can come and you can pray to God anytime and anywhere. You're an adopted son or daughter of the King as we respond to the gospel and receive the Spirit of God. I was thinking about this because my son, he's one, and in the morning recently, he's been waking me up, and as soon as I open my eyes, there he is, and he says, Dada. Now, just a few days ago, I found myself a little irritated. I wanted more sleep. I wanted him to go back to the bed, but you know, through this entire crisis, I don't know about you, but my perspective has been shifted, and I'm really valuing the moments in life that seem small, but they're really big. And now I can't wait to see him say, Dada. He's not going to be doing that for long. If he's doing that at 18, we have some problems in the Kennedy household. But right now, he's not afraid to interrupt me, if you will, because he knows it's not an interruption to me. In prayer, you can quote-unquote interrupt God all you want to because it's never an interruption to God. You're an adopted son or daughter. You have a new identity. Not only a new identity, but we have a new destiny. We no longer are spending an eternity without God. We're spending an eternity with God. That's the promise, not just of earth and life here, but life after this life, eternity with God. And if you're just watching this, it's our hope for every single person that we would put our hope and our faith and our trust in Jesus, that you would spend an eternity with God because you've been created by God and you've been created for God. And it's so important to keep in mind the destination when we're along the way in a difficult moment of the journey. I'm sure you played that game where you're sitting in the back seat, or maybe your kids are doing it to you right now. And you're driving down the road and they say something like, are we there yet? They say it over and over and over again. And one of the things that I've learned in this season is we've got to keep our eyes on the destination. That'll give us fuel for the encouragement in the difficult moments of the journey. And we have a new identity. The peace of God to us. That's why we have peace. We have a new destiny and we have a new view on suffering. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage. It's so important. Because I'm a child of God, I know that my suffering, please hear me today, my suffering is never wasted. That doesn't mean that in any way we celebrate suffering. We just know that God uses all things for his glory, for our joy, and our community's good. Someone asked me last week, why did God cause the coronavirus? Please hear me today. God did not cause the coronavirus, but he will use the coronavirus. We live in a broken world with broken problems and broken people, and that's why we need the restoration of God. It's one of the reasons why Jesus came. Jesus is going to bring restoration, not just here and now, but for all eternity. And here's what God specializes in. He has a reputation for taking the worst news possible and making it the best news possible. In just a few days, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And we know that Friday, which we call Good Friday, wasn't a good Friday for the disciples. But rather, they struggled with the reality that all hope seemed lost. But now we know on the other side that we can call it Good Friday because of the resurrection of Sunday. God has a reputation. He specializes in taking the worst things ever and turning them into the best things ever. He changes lives. So can I get really practical for a moment? I just want to speak into your life today, really practical, because if you feel like everything's breaking loose, what do I do? There's a few things I just want to speak into your life based on God's word. The first is this, don't be surprised. We know from the very beginning of God's word that we are not to be surprised because sin brings brokenness into our life, into our relationships, and into our world, and we need restoration. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you will experience crisis just like everyone else. The difference is that we have a different view. We know that God's using this for his glory, for our joy, and for the good of our world. And Jesus even tells us not to be surprised. I want you to hear this in John chapter 16. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. If we were to go to the letter that Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." And here's why I bring this up. The enemy would love nothing more in this season to get you to start doubting in God's goodness, to get you to start doubting God's faithfulness. And the next thing you know, what will take place when we are so surprised is that we become angered, and when we become angered, we become bitter, and our faith takes a nosedive. And so I just say to you today, according to God's word, according to the words that Jesus shared with us, do not be surprised. And secondly, rejoice in it, don't rejoice for it. You'll never see God say, throw a party over suffering. God doesn't delight in suffering. We know that he uses it and works in all things, but that leads us to be able to be people who rejoice in it, not rejoicing for it. So I'm not going to rejoice for the suffering. I'm not going to rejoice for the crisis, but I am going to rejoice in the crisis. I often get asked, what's God's will for my life? I can't tell you what God's will is as it relates to where you're to move, what job you're to take or to leave, who you are to marry, but I can tell you with all the confidence that I have, God's will for our life, when we go through crisis, when we go through difficulty, is to rejoice in it. Here's what God's word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us. Apostle Paul, who writes another letter to a church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. You know, my daughter has come to us in recent days, and she says, I have some things stuck in my mind. I don't know what to do. And I was sharing with her, a friend of mine who works in neuroscience has said words have the power to shape our brain and rewire it. Especially gratitude, and it's a unique study. So I encouraged her. I said, when you have something in your mind that you're thinking, I don't want there, why don't you just say out loud, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. So all around our house, she's been saying throughout the last week, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. Everywhere she goes, it seems like she's been saying that. And I've been thinking about it, because it's not just good for a six-year-old. I think it's good for me. And I think it's good for you that we be people that express our gratitude even in the middle of the darkest day, because we know no matter what this world throws after us, we serve the risen King as adopted sons and daughters, and we know how this story ends. Last, be shaped by it, not defined by it. People who are shaped by their sufferings are changed by their sufferings. And people who are defined by their sufferings are dominated by their sufferings. One way you become better and the other way you become bitter. One leads to being a victor and the other leads to being a victim. And I believe that we can be shaped by it. And so what do we get? Well, the peace of God changes everything for us. We get a new identity and a new destiny. And we get a new view on suffering that leads us to not being surprised, that leads us to the ability to rejoice in it, not for it, to be shaped by it, not defined by it. And the peace of God, it changes everything. And so I want to pray for you today. And if you're tuning in and you're not a follower of Jesus, you've been exploring, you've never trusted in Jesus, you don't have the confidence to know that if you were standing before a holy God, that you are an adopted son or daughter of the King, I want to encourage you right where you are to pray with me And would you, if you're a follower of Jesus, pray for someone you know who may not be following him? And then I'm going to pray for us and we'll be finished today. So let me pray. If you haven't trusted in Jesus, would you pray with me? Jesus, today, whatever I know about me, I take what I know about you and I put my faith in you, Jesus. My hope in you, Jesus. My trust in you. You are the Savior and the King. Forgive me of my sin and give me new and eternal life. And by your Spirit of God, with the Word of God and the people of God, lead me to follow you. If that was you today, I just want to encourage you. The Word of God says that angels are throwing a party in heaven, and let us know. We want to walk with you. GenesisAL.com/connect. Now I just want to pray for the rest of us. God, I thank you so much that we could gather together online, and I pray today, no matter what's going on in anyone's life, I pray for a fresh filling of the Spirit of God, a fresh encounter with God, that they may know that the peace of God changes everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we finish, I want to share with you just a few quick thoughts. This Thursday night, you can join us. We are going to take time for a Thursday night encouragement online. And if you go to genesisal.com/events, you'll be able to see everything, or you can click on our website there. If you have a prayer request or we can help meet a need, please, I encourage you, go to our website, click on connect, or go to genesisal.com/connect. We want to pray with you. We want to do the best we can. And if you would like to give today, we want to encourage you to be a part of our generosity team. We're so grateful for how God's unleashing generosity. And you can go to genesisal.com/give, and you can give online, or you can give by text, or you can mail in your offering. We're so grateful for our generosity team. I hope you have a great day, and thank you for being a part of Genesis Church Online.